I want to start out by telling you all what a privilege I consider it to be able to meet with you every week, to just be encouraged by you all, and to strive to grow closer to the Lord together with you. It's such a privilege and honor for my wife and I to be here. We love the fact that we get to be a part of the body here in Hutchinson. We're just so grateful to the Lord for all of you. We're also grateful for the support that we receive. Some of you might not know it, but the chapel here, and also the chapel out at Northwest, contribute towards the work at the camp, that my wife and I, we live and work at the Kansas Bible Camp, and the chapel here and the chapel out there do contribute towards that. And again, we are grateful to the Lord for that. We really do thank Him for the way that He provides for His work out at the Kansas Bible Camp. So I want to start off by letting you all know that. And this morning we're going to talk about, actually I'm not going to tell you what we're going to talk about. We're going to get there. But I want to let you know that I do know what day it is. It is Mother's Day. And I love holidays. Holidays are so much fun. I love Christmas and Easter and the 4th of July and Mother's Day. They're all really special times that we get to spend with our family. We have set aside this day, certain days, to show honor for things, show that we value things, the things that they are named for. Today is Mother's Day, as I said, I know that, I know that you all know that. It's a day that we set aside to honor mothers. And one of the things that I really appreciate about my mother, one of the things that I value very much from my upbringing, is that she taught her children the scripture. She taught us verses. And the first verse that I ever learned was Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. And I think there was probably a reason for that. Ephesians 6, 1 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." I don't think I quite got it word perfect, but I know that that is, when I was younger, that is. I'm pretty sure that's what it says in my notes. But, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." The passage goes on to say, "Honor your father and mother," which is the first commandment with a promise. It's not the first commandment. There are 10 commandments that it's referring to. But this is the first one that has a promise attached to it. And this commandment comes with a guarantee that if you honor your parents, you will live a life that is good. It may be so that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. No, not everybody who obeys their parents lives a long time. Things happen. People can die young. But as a general principle, if you listen to what your parents say, you will live longer. It says to honor your mother and your father. It's a command that we are given. And it leads to long life if we do it. So honor is a pretty important thing. But what does it mean to honor someone? What does it mean to honor something? And that's what we're going to look at today. First, we're going to talk about what it means to honor, what the meaning of the word honor is. And then we'll talk about who honors us and who we should honor. So we're going to talk first about what honor is, and then about who honors us and who we are to honor. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Chronicles 32, back towards the beginning of your Bible. It's closer to the front than the back. 2 Chronicles chapter 32. And we'll start in verse 33. I'm sorry. No, that's right. 2 Chronicles. Double check that I've got it right. 32. Start in verse 33. The last verse of the chapter. "So Hezekiah slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the upper section of the tombs of the sons of David. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem honored him at his death. And his son Manasseh became king in his place." The reason I picked this verse to start with is I want to look at what the Bible says about honor, what it looks like in the Bible. That's how we're going to get our definition for the word. That's how we're going to try to understand it. And from this From this verse, we see that honor is something that is done. They honored him at his death. It can be a verb. It also can be a noun. But in this case, it's something that is done. The whole nation of Israel honored Hezekiah. Hezekiah was a good king. He was a man that was righteous and who ruled well. And because of that, people saw him as someone who should be honored. They honored him at his death. So from this passage, we see honor is something you do. And it is something that's good. It's a good thing to be honored. Proverbs 26:1. Towards the middle of your Bible. Proverbs chapter 26. Verse 1, we see that honor is a good thing. And in this passage, we see that honor is not as fitting for some as it is for others. The king, Hezekiah, was a good king. It was fitting that he be honored. But in Proverbs chapter 26, verse 1, we read about a person that it's not quite as fitting for. Like snow in summer and like rain in harvest, so honor is not fitting for a fool. Snow is something that doesn't fit with summer. Snow is a winter thing. It's part of a different category. You don't draw, when kids are drawing pictures of summer at school, you don't draw snow. And, you know, the teacher would say, no, that's not right. No, snow goes in the winter. Because snow is a winter thing. It doesn't fit with the summer. And rain is something that is really necessary at the beginning of the life of plants. You have to have grain so that they'll grow, or water so that the grain will grow. But at harvest time, they're trying to let it dry out because it's got to be dry for you to pull the harvest in. Rain at harvest is something that's annoying. It's not something that's good. It can absolutely ruin a crop if there's rain at harvest. It doesn't fit. And the verse says, in the same way, honor is not something that is fitting for a fool. It doesn't fit. Honor is a good thing. And it's not fitting for a fool. Those are the two things we've seen about it. We haven't defined honor yet. We've just seen a couple things about it. Honor is a good thing, not fitting for a fool. Turn to Hebrews, over to the New Testament. Hebrews chapter 3. And we're going to start in verse 1. And we're going to see here that although honor is not fitting for fools, it is fitting for God. Hebrews chapter 3. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling, consider Jesus the apostle and high priest of our confession. He was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was in all his house. For he has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, by just so much as the builder of the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. God is worthy of honor. A principle that is true, no matter where you go, anywhere in the world, and even outside the world, is that the creation is not as great as the Creator. That's one of the arguments for creation, is that God is great, and therefore He can make something like the world that we see around us. The creation yells. It proclaims that God is the one who made me. God is the one who created all that we see around us. We say that is because what we see around us is so magnificent. Even after the fall, even after the flood that came and destroyed the earth, the physical earth, we see the beauty of the Creator in the creation. If I made something, then I would be greater than that which I made. I can't make something that's greater than myself. It's more magnificent than myself. I can't do that. I can't make something that is greater than I am. I wouldn't worship that which I created. I wouldn't give it more honor than I would give myself. God is worthy of honor. And it says in verse 3, he's been counted worthy of more glory. This is the Lord Jesus Christ, has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses by just so much as the builder of the house has more honor than the house. And Moses was someone that God used in the Old Testament. He was a great man and he was used by the Lord mightily. But the Lord Jesus Christ is worth more by just so much as the one who builds the house, the one who built this place, is greater than the actual building. There are books, entire books full of pictures of houses that architects have designed. And there are people who spend their whole lives building and planning buildings and making magnificent structures. And we honor them more than we honor their structures. It's only fitting that the Creator is worth more than the creation. We also see from this that it is fitting to honor something or someone that is great. We have a great God, and it is very fitting to honor Him. Honor is a good thing. We talked about that. It's not fitting for a fool. It is very fitting for God because He is great. And the greater the thing or person, the more worthy of honor. It's worthy of more honor the greater it is. The better something is, the more honor it is worthy of. All these things are true about honor. Okay, they're observations that we can make as we look at the way that the word honor is used. But how do you do it? How do you honor something? How do you honor someone? Is it just something that you say? When the people honored Hezekiah at his death, were they just saying words about him? Or is it more than that? Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 29, back in the Old Testament again. Isaiah. Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah 29. We'll start in verse 13. Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13. Then the Lord said, because this people draw near with their words and honor me with their lip service, but they remove their hearts from me, and their reverence for me consists of tradition learned by rote. Therefore, behold, I will once again deal marvelously with this people, wondrously marvelous, and the wisdom of their wise men will perish, and the discernment of their discerning men will be concealed. Wondrously marvelous, in this case, is not a good thing. It's going to be something to look at, but it's not because it's a fun thing or a something that you would want to experience. What God is saying is, in this passage, that they honor Him, in verse 13, with their lip service. They're saying, God is great. They're saying, God is amazing. He's fantastic. We are honoring Him. They're saying that. But their hearts are not in it. It's not enough to just say that something is valuable. True honor is not just something you say. It is a belief that something is valuable. And showing by your actions that you believe it's valuable. It's accompanied by actions. It's not enough just to say nice things about God. Your heart has to be in it to truly honor Him. Jesus actually quotes this passage in the New Testament. We're going to go there. Matthew chapter 15. In this passage, He's talking to the Pharisees. The Pharisees accuse His disciples of breaking the tradition of elders. They're breaking rules that have been set up by men. The elders have said you should wash your hands when you eat. And His disciples were not doing this. And these Pharisees come up to Him and say, why are your disciples breaking the tradition of the elders? Don't they have any regard for the tradition of the elders? Matthew chapter 15, verse 1. Then some Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. And He answered and said to them, why do you yourselves transgress the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? And here Christ brings the focus to that which is truly valuable, which is truly important. He says, you're worried about people breaking things. I'm worried about it too. Let's talk about what you have broken, what you have gone against in your actions. Verse 4, for God said, honor your father and mother, and he who speaks evil of father or mother is to be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever I have that would help you has been given to God. He is not to honor his father or mother. And by this, you invalidate the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You hypocrites! Rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. But in vain did they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men. Christ said, yes, it's important to keep commandments. What about God's commandments? And then he brings up an example. He says, it says in the scriptures, you are to honor your father and your mother. But what you say is, if someone says, well, what I was going to give to my parents, I've given to God. I've given that to God. It's not going to be given to them. I've given it to God. Then you say, oh, that's good. That's right. You should give that to God and not your parents. You are to give to God. That's true. And it's right. And it's good. But in the Old Testament, God has said, honor your father and your mother. And when you say not to give to them, not to support them in their need, you invalidate the word of God for the sake of your tradition. And then he quotes the Old Testament passage. He says, you honor me with your lips. You say that you honor me. You say that you value me. You value my commandments, and yet you do not obey them. Instead, you put your own commandments in place of mine. You say, follow the tradition of men. And in doing that, you have ignored and invalidated the commands of God. The way that you honor someone, here's our definition. A definition, it might not be the only definition. But the definition that we're going to use this morning for honor is you treat that person as though they are valuable. You treat them as valuable. The example that Christ uses is of a mother and father. If you value them, you will help take care of them when they can't take care of themselves. You will contribute towards their needs. In Ephesians chapter 6, we also see that you should obey them. That was the verse I quoted at the very beginning. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That's how you honor them. When you are young, you obey what they tell you to do. That's how you show them that you value their advice, that you value what they say is by obeying what they say. The way that you honor someone is to treat them as though they are valuable. So honor is a good thing. Fit for God, who is great, not fit for fools. Motivated by the value you place on a person and shown by actions as well as by words. One of the ways that you can show honor to someone, one of the ways you can show that you value a person is by giving them financial support. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Let's go there. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Okay. 1 Timothy 5. We'll start in verse 3. Honor widows who are widows indeed. This passage is talking about honoring a group of people. Widows indeed. And he goes on in the passage to explain what widows indeed mean. He's saying that you are to honor these people. That's all that we see in this first verse, and then he goes on to talk about financially supporting them. Down in verse 16, it says, if any woman who is a believer has dependent widows, she must assist them, and the church must not be burdened so that it may assist those who are widows indeed. Aid that you lend to people that are widows indeed. There's a definition in this passage. It goes on in verse 17 to say, the elders who rule well are to be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. Look at the verse that comes after it. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle the ox while he is threshing, and the laborer is worthy of his wages. It seems to me that this passage is talking about financially supporting someone. And it makes sense. It fits with the definition that we've had, that you value someone. And if you value that person, it means that you're willing to show that with your time, that you spend time with them. You're willing to show that by your obedience. We already talked about that one. And that you're also willing to financially support some people. Now this passage that I just mentioned, talking about honoring widows, it is a very limited definition. It takes people that are widows, people that have lost their husbands, and narrows it way down to just a certain segment of widows who have no one else to care for them, and it is the responsibility of the church to take care of those widows. He says you should honor widows who are widows indeed. And he also says that you should honor those who teach and preach, who are elders. You should honor your elders who teach and preach. This is a practical way that we can show honor. Christ showed that he valued us by paying the price necessary to buy us for himself. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 18 through 20. We're still talking about giving, something about purchasing. Giving something to purchase something else. And this is, in 1 Corinthians, talks about the fact that we are not our own. 1 Corinthians, chapter 6, verse 18. Flee immorality. Every other sin that a man commits is outside the body. But the immoral man sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. That word price, that's translated here price, that means here price, is the same word for honor. They have different meanings. It doesn't mean that everywhere that it says price, you can say honor. Or everywhere that it says honor, you can say price. There are two different meanings of the same word. We have those in English, where there's a word and it means two different things. That's what it is in the original language. It's two different things, but they are related to each other. The Lord Jesus Christ valued us. And he showed that by paying for us with his blood. We have been bought with a price. The precious blood of our Lord Jesus. And because of that, we are to glorify God in our bodies. The value of something is determined by the price someone is willing to pay for it. There's a TV show, The Antique Roadshow. Have you guys ever seen that? The Antique Roadshow, there's people that go all around, and they travel, and people come to this big room, and there are, appraisers. Appraisers in this room, people who appraise their antique. They might have gotten them in a garage sale, or maybe they dug it out of their attic, or found it in the garage, their own garage. It was just buried, or handed down to them by their grandfather or their grandmother. They're given to them in some way, or they found it some way, and people come and appraise this item. And it's a really interesting show. It really is, because there are people who think that their item is going to be so valuable. They look at it, they just say, I think this is going to be worth a lot. Like a really lot. And there are other people who come and they sort of unassuming. They all try to be, well, yeah, I probably won't be worth much and stuff, but there are some people who really think that theirs is really valuable, and others who, well, maybe it's not so valuable. Then the appraiser comes and says, this vase that you had that was given to you by your grandmother was very common at the time. I can't give you any estimation for it because it's just not really, there are so many like it, it's not really worth anything. To that person, it's worth a lot because of the value that they place on their grandmother or whoever gave it to them, but it's not worth very much to the other people. Okay? Another person comes and they have an old hubcap from a car or something, and they look at the hubcap, they say, wait. That hubcap was from a limited edition. It's worth millions. And you wouldn't think it to look at this old thing, but they are putting a value on it, and the way that they get that value is by finding someone who's willing to pay that much. That's how you get the value of an item, is what someone is willing to pay for it. We were bought with the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, and you can't put value on the blood of God. God incarnate. You can't put a value on that. It's inestimable. We were purchased with something so absolutely valuable that we can't even ever imagine. It's an infinite amount. We can't put a price on it. But He paid for us. He paid so that we could have fellowship with Him. He died on the cross. He rose from the grave. He lives to intercede for us. He is our great high priest, and we can have a relationship with God if we would only come to Him in faith and say, I can't do it on my own. I'm not able to get to you. I accept this price that was paid for me. Christ showed His value for me by giving His blood in exchange for my life. And you come to Him in faith and accept the price that was paid for you. As His servant, those of us who are believers, as His servants, we should strive to be like Him, imitate Christ. And He honored us, He valued us, and gave His life for us. We should value Him and strive to give our lives for Him, to do what He would have us to do. We ought to value others as well and show it by our actions, obeying those who are over us, like our parents, or at work, like our bosses, obeying those people that are over us, and sharing financially with other people. Honor is a good thing. We're almost at the end of our definition. Then we'll get to application. Honor is a very good thing. It is fit for our magnificent God, not for fools. It means treating someone as valuable. It can be shown by obedience, financial support, and sacrifice. Those are just some of the ways that you can show value for another person. That is what honor is. Now we're going to look at who honors us and who we are to honor. We've seen what honor is. We have a definition. As I said, it's not the definition. We're not going to say this morning all that you can say about the idea of honor. But our definition is that you value someone, to show respect for someone, that you have a value for someone. And we're going to look at who honors us and who we are to honor. We saw in the last passage that Christ honors us. He honored us. He valued us and showed it by giving His life for us. Let's look at who else honors us. And we're going to see this in John chapter 12. Not only does Christ honor us, God the Father honors us as well. John chapter 12. We'll start in verse 24. John 12, 24. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it to life eternal. If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, catch this is what we're talking about, the Father will honor him. Not only does the Lord Jesus Christ value us, not only did He show it by giving His life for us, if we serve Him, if we follow our Lord Jesus, God the Father honors us. God honors us as we serve our Lord Jesus. So God and the Lord Jesus Christ both God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, His Son. They are one. And yet they're expressed to us in different persons. God the Father, Christ His Son, honored us. Who should we honor? Who should we honor? We've already talked about one of them, parents, we know that. Honor your mother and father so that it will go well with you. Honor your parents, that's one group of people. Let's look at another. Proverbs 14:31, you don't have to turn there. If you want to, you may. He who oppresses the poor taunts his maker, but he who is gracious to the needy honors him. The him is capitalized. Honors God. We are to honor God. And one way we can do that is by being gracious to the poor. The idea of money comes in again. That poor people don't have a lot. That's why they're poor. They don't have a lot. And you can be poor in a lot of different ways, not just financially. I think here it's talking about people that are poor financially, but poor is someone who doesn't have a whole lot. And we are to be gracious to them. It says, actually, at the first part of this verse, that he who oppresses the poor, if you oppress the poor, if you are unjust to the poor, you're taunting God. You're sticking your tongue out at him and saying, nah, 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 you can't get me. Not the best idea to an all-powerful God. Instead, our attitude toward them should be one that is gracious. Because God honors the poor. God values the poor very highly. And He defends them. He loves them. He wants us to do the same. And when we are gracious to them, to the needy, He honors us. We honor Him. It's something that He does do. He does honor us as we serve our Lord Jesus. But when we are gracious to the needy, He honors us. He values us. So we see that we're to honor our parents, we're to honor God. Who else? How far can we get with this? We honor God, both to honor our parents. 1 Peter 3:7. We'll see someone else that we are to honor. And some of these people are even here today. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. You husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way as with someone weaker, since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered. This is serious business, this honor stuff. Because if you do not honor your wife, your prayers are hindered. You can make a wall between you and God that your prayers will not go past by not valuing your wife, your spouse, your wife in this case. You need to show honor. Treat her as though she were valuable. I think that there are a lot of things that you could get your wife for Mother's Day. It's something that I've heard ladies don't mind so much if the dad in the family gives them a gift for Mother's Day. Sort of to show their appreciation. You don't have to. As a new father, it's something that I was made aware of, not by my wife, she didn't tell me, but I do understand that they don't mind so much if you do something for them. I think something that they would appreciate a lot, and this is not a cop-out, you can still get them something physical, is if you would honor them. Honor them in front of your children. Show them that they are valuable by the way that you treat her. Show her that she is valuable. You are to honor your wife. It's a serious deal because if you do not, it can get in the way. It does get in the way of your relationship with God. What about outside the home? We know that children are to honor their parents. Husbands to honor the wife. Who else should we honor? 1 Corinthians 12. Don't worry about turning there. We don't have a whole lot of time left, so we're going to breeze through this one. 1 Corinthians 12 talks about the body of Christ. It says that there are some members that are made for honor or that seem to have more honor and others that aren't necessarily as presentable, but we make those that are less presentable more. God bestows upon them more honor. We bestow more abundant honor on these who are less presentable, whereas our more presentable members have no need of it. But God has so composed the body, this is the body of Christ, the church, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacks, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. We are to honor one another. We sang a song, give preference to one another in honor, in the body of Christ. A way we can do that, this is practical again, is by giving preference to other people. If there is a decision to be made about the time that a meeting should start, or the carpet that we put on the floor, which is a common example, but it's something that people, it's an issue because it's something that people have different opinions on. The carpet on the floor could be something that a church is split over, and that would be a sad thing. And there are so many things that are like that that are not essential, that are not things that are biblically wrong or right, but just an opinion, an opportunity for preference, and everyone has their preference. You have your own opinion. And a way that you can show honor to people is by giving that preference to someone else. Say, yes, you pick this, you do this. I want to know what you prefer. And you can give that opportunity, give them the opportunity to have their preference. It's a way that we can show honor in the body. Not only are we to honor other people in the body of Christ. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. This is our last passage. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17. Pretty short. But it says, we are to honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. What about people that aren't very honorable? What about people that are fools? Am I to honor them as well? This is talking specifically about people that are in leadership earlier in the passage, and right here it says all. The word is all. Honor all people. Even if someone is not very honorable, if they have done things to hurt you, or if you think that they are foolish in their job or foolish in the way that they conduct themselves, you are still called to honor that person, to treat them as though they're valuable. That's why the definition is treat as though they're valuable, not treat valuable things as though they're valuable. Because some people you don't respect and you just can't respect because of whatever reason, but you are still to love them, to treat as valuable all people. You can't get much broader than that. We've seen what honor means. That honor is something that's not fitting for fools, it is fitting for God. That it's something that we are to do to widows, who are widows indeed. Widows who don't have anyone else to take care of them, who are faithful to the Lord and have shown it by their lifestyle, are worthy of honor. And honor in that case is financial support, helping them to meet their needs. Elders are worthy of support as well. Elders who teach and preach well are worthy of double honor. We should honor those in the church by giving preference to them. We talked about that. And we should honor all men by treating them with respect, by recognizing in them value if they are God's children, because they are fellow heirs of the grace of life. They are fellow heirs together with us of His glory. And if they're not believers, there's potential value there. And we could be reaching out to them and striving to communicate to them God's love. Treat all with honor. As sons and daughters of God, we are to value all, great or small. It doesn't matter who they are. You're to value them. That's the application that you can take with you, I hope, is that you are to value people. It is something that you can give to everybody. And everybody includes mothers. It's Mother's Day. And that is something that I think your mother would probably really appreciate a lot if you treated her as though she was valuable and showed her that by your actions. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to have your heart. We thank you that you have communicated to us what you want us to do, and that we can do it not because it's something that can get us any closer to heaven. Not because it's something that we can use to get closer to you, to get in good with you, but instead because we love you and we want to obey you, Father. We want to do what you would have us to do. We want to serve you so that we may receive honor. We do ask this in your Son's name.